and the ministry that we have with the next generation. And I just so appreciate people that are willing to step up and lead. If you've never tried it, you should, and you'll really be thankful for the ones that are doing it all the time. And it'll help you grow. It's a good thing. So if you've never helped out with kids or youth, I just encourage you, give it a try. And this is a blessing that we're able to minister to so many young people. Amen. They are the future, and it is so, so important. And I'm thankful that as a church, that's always been our heart and a part of who we are. Amen. Awesome. Well, we have a special guest this morning, Dr. Rudy. If you've never been here when Dr. Rudy's been here before, well, you're in for a treat. And it's been a fun week because we kind of get different flavors of guests, you know, from evangelists to, Tyrell was actually asking me, she's like, she'd heard about Dr. Rudy, so I want to get to know him. What's he like? You know, what's he like when he ministers? And I said, well, it's a little bit like, you know, someone taking a fire hose, and when he prays for you, just opens it up and the glory of God comes. And you do have a gift, Dr. Rudy, of just being really sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but being able to just flow in what he's doing. And I really appreciate that. Dr. Rudy is a doctor, a physician, but he also works for the Great Physician. And I appreciate his heart. He has a really humble heart and just a heart to serve and love. And I honor that in you. And we're thankful to have you. And thank you guys for coming as well. So would you come and just share whatever God's put on your heart? But I'd like to pray for him. So if you would join with me. And let's pray for Dr. Rudy. God, we're just thankful for this man. We're thankful, Lord, for the giftings that you've put in him and for the gift that he is to the body. And Lord, I just thank you for all that you're doing in him. We're thankful, Lord, that he brings hope and life and joy wherever he goes. And Lord, I just pray you bless him and speak through him this morning and lead and guide him as he ministers to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Oh my goodness, I feel so blessed. I think I can go home now. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for loving us and having us. And oh, I see Gerald and Janice back there too. Bless you. They had us over at the weekend in Pie Pot. And I see many familiar faces. And I just want you to be blessed. And, you know, Paul mentioned a little bit about my background, and I'll probably tell you, you can hear I'm from a different planet. You know, from Africa, came to Canada, and just had a conviction in my heart. My goodness, you know, these people don't know God. You know, as a physician, you know, doctoring them, and just realized, my goodness, you know, somewhere I have to, you know, do something because people don't know God. You know, and so the minute you want to bring people to God, what do you need to do? You need to move closer to God. You know, so. 1 year I went out and visited my brother-in-law in Jeffreys Bay, which is the surface town in South Africa, and I got very sick. I got an extreme stomach pain. I was in bed, and I knew as a physician, and I wasn't spirit-filled. I wasn't as close as God, as I'm now, but he had a little bit too much Jesus. And it actually, he had so much Jesus that it irritated me. You know, you'll see that some people walk so close to God that it will irritate you a little bit. It's just too much Jesus, you know. And now I guess I'm one of those people who's a little bit too much Jesus, you know. So anyhow, so he came in. I was on my bed, and I was so sick. And I knew as a physician, you know what, I hope I have insurance. At that time, I was living in Canada, so I was visiting out there. And I said to Yula God, I hope that, you know, and especially if my appetite is gone, and my appetite was gone. So I know, that's how I know usually that I'm sick, is my appetite's gone. And anyhow, so he come in, and, you know, too much Jesus for me, and he's on my bed, and you know, and I thought, oh, the whole day, like it's holiday, man. I mean, there's no way you can find me in bed on a holiday next to a beautiful ocean, which is a beach town. And anyhow, he does the strangest prayer. Now, I'm a physician. I'm all natural, scientifically trained up here. Like, spiritual is far from me, you know, because I've spent, how many years in university, book after book, and science trusted, science of man, you know, and I just thought science is the only way. And put a lot of trust in science. But here he comes as a spiritual man, and he does something on me that changed my life. It was part of changing my life. He puts his hand on my stomach, and he does the strangest prayer, guys. He goes like this, Satan, I break your power. And I'm like, what? I've never heard that before, and that's a strange prayer. You know, I've seen these ones. Oh, Lord, just bless this brother. You know how good he is, and Lord, be with him. And, you know, I've never seen the rebuking prayer. You know, so that really switched my mind from signs to spiritual. Bang! Anyhow, half an hour later, the pain is gone. Who sits at the table? This guy, you know. So I go home and, you know, think about this and think about my practice and my patients that I see. And I'm like, is their problems not spiritual? You know, is there not a spiritual root in this? And it makes me really think, you know, and is there a spiritual world that real? Is there really an enemy that wants to come and kill, steal, and destroy? Is this something I should probably pay attention more? You know, is their problems not deep spiritually, anyhow. So that started my route on this. And, you know, now people come in my office and say, oh, I hear you pray. And I'm saying, no, I don't pray, I'm sorry. Because every time I pray, the Holy Spirit gets upon them, and then it's all kinds of stuff happening in my office. And my nurses, they're all naturally minded. They look at this, they want to call the ambulance. They don't recognize it's the hand of God and the power of God, you know. So they're like, should we not call the ambulance? You know, are you sure this is spiritual? I said, yeah, this is, you can see it's spiritual. It's a different shaking, you know. Anyhow, so that is my encounter. So, you know, Sunday mornings are full because everybody wants to minister, there's worship, there's, you know. So where do you squeeze in time to pray for people? And, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, I was so sick, Paul. I had pain in the neck and I was just in my heart. Could somebody be praying for me? I don't even care if it's a tiny, eeny, beeny little prayer. But I don't have the faith at that moment. I don't have the, you know, I'm just so, if you're sick, you're just weak. And your faith is sometimes down. And you know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, I hope there's somebody that can just say an eeny, beeny, teeny, little, weeny prayer for me so I can feel better, you know? And I just want to encourage you that if you feel sick and stuff, you want people to pray for you, you know? Anyhow, long story short, so we created a Thursday night that me, Oriana, and Tim, you know, since 2014, we show up every Thursday night, you know? And if people want to come for prayer, then they would come in and we would pray for them. And the God's hand shows up, the grace of God shows up and touches them, and they drive them in now. We had people Thursday night driving 2.5 hours from Westlock just to be baptized, guys. They drive in, you know, we had a psychiatric nurse the other day there. We couldn't even come closer. The power of God was so on her, we couldn't even go closer just because there was all kinds of, you know, mental abuse on her and stuff that she picked up spiritually. And we couldn't even come closer. The power of God was just on her and sorting her out. And we just, you know, jaw dropped, the power of God, the hand of God's there and sorting her out, the grace of God. But anyhow, so now our pastor picked up on this too. And so after service, he would do an altar call and says, is anyone here? By the way, is there anyone here that haven't accepted Jesus Christ? If there's anybody here, just stick up your hand. I'll pray for you. I'll lead you to the Lord right now. Anybody? But he does this every Sunday. So beautiful. You know, and then he does this prayer. And I'm just saying, well, I love that. Now what he does too is he got prayer teams out that would stand in the front and people will come for prayer, you know. And you guys, the power of the hand of God is showing up, touching these people, of course. And you got to get used to the power of God. If you haven't seen it, it's a bit of a shocker, you know. He's like, what? Is he really here? Is he alive? It's a bit of a shocker. But we have that pattern now that we do. And people drive through because they want an encounter. They want that touch. They want an encounter. And, you know, I spoke to somebody. I said yesterday, Paul, that they said they know that this church is a church of encounter. They know that this church, the Holy Spirit, is here. It's interesting. People know where the wells are in the province. They know where they can go and have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? To be known that this is a place where the living God is. Yeah, whether you come for prayer. What, did he just touch me? Is he really alive? My reward is, you know, when I pray for people, you know, they just come for a prayer, you know what I'm saying? They're like, okay. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit touches them and you can just see the pupils goes, what, you mean he's alive? And he's here? You know, that I love. That is my reward. That is just to see that. Because people just go on, but they never realize that he's alive. You know, and that he you know, touches you. But anyhow, so I thought I would just, you're feeling blessed? So is it okay if we pray for you? We're going to have a little bit of a prayer line. Some of you that needs to go home, you go home. But we're here. We're going to just, we want you just to have a touch. We just want you to have a touch. And how we started, guys, this is how easy, is we got people in the prayer line. And we took the pressure off us like, oh, I got to get this person healed. Or I got to get this, you know, something going. All we've learned is just Holy Spirit touch. That's all we do. And to our shock, people have encounters, you know, Holy Spirit touch. I did that with my family. I probably told you the story. Went to South Africa. My dad died. So my cousin, very sensitive. One thing we picked up when we prayed for people in the prayer line is that some people are so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So sensitive. You can barely come to them. You'll see. And I have all the answers of this. But I know that the Bible says, and let's just read that. We need to go to Scripture. Otherwise, you're going to say, oh, you just talked. You didn't do any Scripture. So let's go to Scripture. Let's just stay along the Word of God. What does the Bible call you and me? Let's just have a look. You guys feeling blessed? Yes. Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. And the Bible actually talks about you and me. The Bible talks about you and me. The Bible says, let the man consider us, that's you and me, as servants of Christ. Wow, what an honor. We're serving him. And stewards of what? Mysteries. You're mysterious. Don't you like a little bit of a mysterious person? There must be a little bit of mystery. Even Jesus, when he teaches the kingdom, he didn't open up the parables to everybody. He didn't say, listen, you know, no, it was the ones that was really turning their hearts, turned from a certain lifestyle, you know. To them, the secrets and the mysteries opened up, you know. How do you know you're from God? How do you know? I ask you a question. How do you know that you are from God? You love truth because he is truth. If you love lies, you got a problem. If you love the word of God, you know you're from God because God is truth. But there's a little other secret. Truth and grace is welded together. You've seen welders when they weld metal together. Truth and grace is welded together. So if it's the truth of God, the hand of God will be on it. Because he witnessed to his own truth. You got that? God will grow with you with that. Don't worry. Don't worry. You'll see that if you bring the message to people and it's truly God's word, you'll see the hand of God on it. Boom. Because truth and his grace. He witnessed. Listen, if you come and tell me a story, how do I know your story is true? I just have to trust you. But not with God. God witnessed with his Holy Spirit that this is the truth. Jesus' disciples says, Lord, where are you going? Well, do you remember the little Bible verse that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life? So Jesus' way is what? The truth. You'll always find me where you find my truth. Yeah. If you love truth, you know you're born of God. And God witnesses, you come to me and say, you know what? This and this has happened to me, and I just have to believe you. But when God says this and this and this is the truth, his spirit and grace is on it, and there will be an encounter, a manifestation, a presence on it, because he witnessed of himself that he's truth. That's why I say grace and truth is welded together. Jesus quote this. Jesus says, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth. Isn't that amazing? Disciples say, how do you know where Jesus is? How are you going to find him? Truth. Truth. And then grace, the Holy Spirit witnessed that this is the truth. So you will never be deceived. That's the beauty thing of it. People can come and tell you all kinds of stories, and that's people's opinions. But no, you know the God's word because you've got God's word in your heart. That's how what I did. You know, I listened to a lot of opinions through the years, and I said to myself, no. I need to listen to the word, get the Bible in me, listen through it so that if when you come and you talk to me about something, I'm not going to argue with you. No, I just for me to weigh to see if you are really in the truth, if that's really in God's word. So I had to do it for myself. So I put CDs in my vehicle as I drove and do rounds and Red Deer up and down. I would listen to the word over and over. And as the word gets in you, if the truth gets in you, what moves into you too? Grace. Because grace and truth is welded together. So when you receive the word as truth, who do you receive? Jesus Christ. When you say, wow, God, this is really truth. The word of God, this is really truth. This is really the truth. This is really not a word of man, but truly a word of God, which is superior than a man's opinion, by the way. I hope you don't put your trust in man or man's word. You have to read this yourself. This is your life. So that you can always compare, not argue. Yeah. How beautiful is that? God makes sure you don't get lost. He makes sure, because he witnessed on the grace that's in this truth. Yes, it's beautiful. And you can choose how close you want to be to God. The choice is you. The Bible says, move close to God and he will move closer to you. So you can decide how close you want to be to him. Did you know that God gives you stepping stones to get closer to him? Fear. Oh, fear. Oh, you're a stepping stone. Right. Closer to God. Oh, rejection. Oh, you broke my heart. Oh, you're a stepping stone. Thank you. Closer to God. Oh, pains and aches and sickness and diseases. Oh, okay, I can get better and go back. No, you're a stepping stone. I'm using you even to move closer to the God, to the truth, to the Holy Spirit. God's figured it all out for you. Yes. Because he's concerned about you. He loves you. You know, he loves you. He wants you to be closer. He kind of laughs like this. It's just a matter of time. You'll be closer anyhow. Go bump your head. Go bump your toe. You'll be running back to me, by the way. You say, Rudy, show me that, the verse. Okay. You guys got 1 Corinthians 4, verse what? 1 Corinthians 4, the Bible talks about you. God's going to give you grace. He's going to give you secrets. He's going to give you ways to pray for people. Okay, so then you become a steward of what? Mysteries. People are going to look and say, you're a little peculiar. I don't know about you. But the Bible says you're going to be a steward of mysteries, and the mystery is going to make you a little bit peculiar. You pray for people. You like the Holy Spirit. You look a little bit. You're a little bit. Don't know about you. But the Bible says God's going to entrust you with mysteries. Jesus didn't. He didn't just open up all the parables for everybody. Only for the close ones, the disciples, the ones that really turned their heart to Jesus and went on the cross. That said, Lord, I don't want this filth in this life anymore. I'm turning from that filth. I'm on the cross with you. Isn't that what a Christian is? Turn from your filth and then surrender fully to the Lord. Isn't that what a Christian is? Person that struggles with anger and makes you feel bad, I'm not sure if you're a Christian, because a Christian forgives and loves. Have you been attacked by a Christian that's angry? Probably a believer, but not a Christian. I'm sorry, a Christian hangs on the cross. He's done with his anger and his filth and whatever. That's what a Christian is. So when another Christian attacks you and bites you for a little mistake you probably did or something you said or whatever, don't worry, it's probably not a Christian. Your Christian doesn't do that. Jesus said, if they slap you on the one cheek, what do? You turn the other cheek. If they make you go a mile, what do? You go 2 miles with them. That's what the Christian does. If you're in the presence of a Christian, you'll feel deep love for you. You can let your hair down. You can be yourself because they really love you. That's how you know you're in the presence of a Christian. If it is a Christian, he's probably off the cross. And the enemy is like, oh, you're in my country. Welcome. I got some deals for you. I got some things that I can sell you. Pride, anger, anxiety, perversity. What do you want? What do you want a covenant with? See, you need to recognize the world of the enemy and when you are under the protection of Jesus Christ, when you hang on the cross. But if you get off that cross, you're fair game. The enemy says, welcome, you're in my country. I see you struggle with that. Now, I know you're snared with some things that happen in your life. Emotions, rejection, your mom and dad was probably pretty rough with you. You were abused, spouse left you. Whatever happened to you, what is that? It's a stepping stone to get closer to God. Man, you guys get quiet on me tonight, or today. Does that bless you? Yes. Let's just look at this. Let's go to Jude. Okay, I'll get you the address. Hang in there. Okay, James 1 verse 2. So don't see your obstacles in life, the bad valleys you had, as something that's blocking you from getting to God. Use it as something to get closer to God, a stepping stone. Okay, so hurt stands in front of you. You're so hurt from a relationship that went bad. But use it now as a stepping. You can either do two things with it. You can get a bitter through it and move away from God and hate God. Or you can say, Lord, you know what? One step closer to you. Thank you. It's a stepping stone. I'm walking right over it. Okay, let's look at the Bible. The Bible talks about, my brethren, count it all joy. Has he lost his mind? When you face trials of many kinds. Why does he say that? I have to be happy about the real deep and sad things that happen in my life. Huh? Why? I want to be angry. I want to be upset. Give me some space. I want to live this out. No, the Bible says that it actually builds your faith. It builds perseverance for you to get closer to God. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. I'm not going to let that push me back. I'm going to go closer to God. Thank you very much. Pain and aches in my back? No, I'm moving closer to God. Sickness and disease? No. I'm using you to move closer to God. Thank you so much, but I'm going to use my faith just even through this pains and aches just to move closer to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Count it to joy, my brothers, when you face what? Many trials. Let's just go into the definition of many, face trials of many kinds. What is that? Hurt, rejection. Did I not taste those bitter waters? I did. Lots of rejection. Lots of stuff against me. But I use it to my advantage to move closer to God. I take the word of God. I get stronger in it. And I move closer. So I love my valleys. I love the past. Because if it wasn't for that, I would not stand here. I would probably sit in front of the TV and eat some, chicken wings and watch some games and stuff. Now I love my life, even with the hurt. And even the hurt of tomorrow, because I know even the hurt of tomorrow, promotion in the spirit. Oh, they're pretty bad tomorrow with me. Tomorrow they don't like me. But guess what? Promotion in the spirit. My spirit man just gets upgraded. And you can fall in that and say, oh, no, here I go again. Bring that Prozac. Bring that Ativan. Sleeping tablet on top of melatonin. See, your outer man, he's from the earth, you know. But the new man that God put in you, your spirit man, is like, bring it on. Because I'm just going to take the word of God and strengthen myself. You need to know you have two natures, guys. You have a natural nature, the one that you have to maintain, stand in front of the mirror, comb its hair, shave it. It's emotional. It needs to go to a psychologist. It has feelings. It's high maintenance, guys. You know that. I can tell you nothing about it. It has habits. It sees a drive-thru. There it goes. Ed, can you wear you down? But God says, no, I've put Jesus Christ in you. Your spirit man is you. The Lord is in there with your spirit, and he loves a bit of a challenge. It's like going to a gym. You know, the out man, you got, I don't know, my six-pack turned into a barrel, but just like you go to a gym to practice, you have to see that the Word of God encourages you that God is building the new man inside of you. Okay, you say, Rudy, please show me that in the Word, because I've never heard this. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. We got this. We got the stepping stone. Okay? It moves you closer to God. Your challenges, use it to your advantage. You know, okay. I don't want to lose us the track now here. So you can see that 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you got the address, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you got to read it yourself. Your spirit man needs to see it. Your outer man is like, I'm tired, I want to go eat. The inner man says, whoa, bring it on, because this is, I need to grow on this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's what? A new creation. See, God has put a new creation inside of you. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then the second verse, why is God building that new man inside of you? Now all things are of God, and who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus, has given you what? Really, I don't know what the purpose in my life is. I've been a Christian for many years. I don't know what the purpose is. Well, here's your purpose. He's given us, that's you and me, what? The ministry of what? Reconciliation. That means bringing people back to God. What? How do you do that? Just give them some love. Tell them about how miserable your love of life was, but how God pulled you through. You know, my brother-in-law, Gabriel, he's, you know, the guy that prayed for me that interesting prayer, which got results, by the way. He phoned me the other day. He said, oh, I'm now the pastor of Lifesavers. I said, what? The pastor of Lifesavers? He says, yeah, I walk along the beach and I found a bunch of, you know, Lifesavers. They swim out there between the lakes and then they bring them out, you know. Have you seen that in Mexico? You guys been in Mexico? They have these Lifesavers too, and then suddenly they run in and go get money. But he says, there was a guy that somebody died. He couldn't save his life. And he talked to him, and the guy said, I feel so, my life is worth nothing. I feel so miserable. I feel so broken. I couldn't save that person. He says, what's my life worth? I was in that water, so I couldn't save that person. And then my brother-in-law said to him, listen, your life is so much worth. Jesus died on the cross for you, and he led him to the Lord. He restored him. He encouraged him. Guess what? He brings the man to the Lord, plus the man goes and brings his whole family to the Lord. They had a conference out there in South Africa. It's called the Mighty Men Conference. I think it's Angus Bachus. I don't know if you ever heard of Angus Bachus, but Angus Bachus is leading a movement out there in South Africa. And so even this guy, this lifesaver that got saved. Imagine a lifesaver got saved. He saved lives, but his life got saved in the spirit. You know? Isn't that amazing? So, you know, my brother-in-law says, well, yeah, I'm the pastor of lifesavers. I said, how does that work? So what did he do? He took the ministry of reconciliation, bringing people, connecting them back to God. Isn't that beautiful? That's your life. You know, just encouraging somebody. How do you encourage them? Use the word. Use the word. Says, listen, God is with us. God is merciful. God is there for us. Jesus still reigns. You know. He still reigns. He still determines our lives, you know. So you are what? A servant of Christ. You believe, it's important to believe. The devil believes too, but he's not a servant. Oh, trust me, he believes. But but what puts us different is when you believe, you become what? A servant. That's why you become behind the church. You help the church. You help whatever your gifting is, you help the church. We are standing in the ministry for the Lord. We're doing his work. If you don't do it, who else is going to do it? Who else is going to care about the Lord's work? Tell me. Who else? Rudy, what do I need to qualify? What do I need to? The less qualified you, the less you feel qualified, the more you're qualified. Okay? What's your qualifications to be used by the Lord? This is the qualifications. The less, if you can't even quote quarter of a verse, you qualify more than your brother sitting next to you. It's true. The less qualified you are, the less you think you qualify, the less you think, the more. Because Jesus gives you what? The Holy Spirit. What does Jesus call him? The Helper. Now, if you know it all, who needs the Helper? There's some Christians like that. Who needs the Helper? And I'm like, you're doing ministry without the Holy Spirit? That's tough territory. You're going to get worn out. You need a helper. You need a helper. If you're a Christian, by the way, what is the definition of a Christian? You guys know that? Where were you first called a Christian? In Antioch. You got an A student here, Paul. Huh? You know why? You guys have another few minutes, is that okay? Okay, let's go in church history. My daughter tells me I'm going, she has a subject called big history. What? I had history, now it's called big history. You guys familiar with that subject? Big history, okay, thank goodness I'm not alone. I don't know, you know, the world is moving too fast for me. Okay, hang in there, let's just see. Acts 11:26. Can you bring that up for me? Okay. So what happened is the church in Jerusalem did very well. Okay? All the apostles were there. And then they got a servant. His name was Stephen. And Stephen was just to help out the apostles. You know, he was just to help cleaning the tables because the apostles, they needed to preach the word, you know. And Stephen got too close to the Holy Spirit. He got too close to the Holy Spirit, which is God on earth, by the way. And he started doing miracles, and it upset people. He started doing miracles. And of course, you know the story. They stoned him because they didn't like the fact that he was too close to the Holy Spirit. They killed him. And now you would think, okay, God will probably crush those Hellenists, which was Greek-speaking Jews. You thought, okay, God will just throw a Noah at them, just flood the earth or hit them with a Sodom and Gomorrah. No, God does the opposite. He takes that grace because when Stephen died, Stephen said, forgive them. So, and Jesus did the same on the cross. He said, forgive them, because when you forgive somebody, grace gets released. So we see a pattern that suddenly the grace breaks out in another town. One of the three advanced cities in the Roman Empire, which was Antioch, very studied people's university, lot of science, lot of stuff up here, not much here, spiritual. And so the church is like, whoa, it's like Christ is walking there because miracles is popping like popcorn. It's like Jesus Christ is walking there. And we know Jesus Christ is there because Jesus is grace. So we know it was Jesus. So the church is like, bring Barnabas. And Barnabas, what? His name means son of? To encourage. Barnabas, go check out Antioch. We hear these miracles breaking out. So they send Barnabas down there. And Barnabas sees the grace. He sees, oh my goodness, the miracles and stuff. It's like Christ Jesus is walking here. And that is where the name of Christians came from, because it's Christ-like. So if you call yourself a Christian, you need to go study a little bit of Bible history. The Holy Spirit was so there that the people that was ministering there was Christ-like. That was the name Christians. Okay? So we need to go to look in the Word, because the Word is what? The truth. And the Word is grace. Truth and grace goes together. So grace broke out there. Grace breaks out there, and we know who's grace, Jesus Christ in the Spirit. And Barnabas is like, I better get Paul here. And at that time, Paul's name was what? Saul. Till he got the light. Till he was enlightened. That was where the word Christian come from. It's like, it looks like Christ is here. Look at the miracles. It's just popping. Boom, 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 boom. Okay? Look at that. The disciples were what? Christians. First at Antioch. So, you are a steward of grace. But you need to have a revelation what's grace. Noah found grace, the Bible says. Noah found grace. Who else found grace? Moses, he went up the mountain, he interceded for Israel. He said, Lord, we are just a stiff-necked people. If you don't go with us, if your presence doesn't go, if your grace doesn't, if your mercy doesn't go with us, I don't know if we're going to make it. Okay, so God's mercy and grace. And what does that mean? His protection goes with you. That's what grace is. It's protecting. You can see how he opened the Red Sea, how he pushed the other nations with his mighty hand away, because now he's with them. So how do you know God's grace is with you? God is with you, Emmanuel 1:23. His grace is with you. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, some church history. That is what a Christian is. So, of course, he go gets Apostle Paul. Who's phoning?
Jesus.
Yeah. Where are you? Are you in church? Are you coming home? And, you know. Are you blessed by this? You feeling blessed? You build me, I build you. You build me, we build one another. And so we move on. We encourage one another's faith. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that your faith is more precious than gold. You know why the enemy wants to come and steal your faith? The Bible says it's more precious than gold. I think 1 Peter 1:7, something like that. Is that right? I think so. I hope I got the address. Okay, I'm going to finish up here. I kept you long enough. Yeah, look at that. Did you know that? Do you believe truth? Did you know that gold can perish? I didn't know gold can perish. You know, in South Africa, we have the deepest gold mines. They went so deep that they came out to China and they had to close that little part. No, it's not the truth. It gets so warm down there. Did you know that? The deeper the mines are, the warmer it gets. It's interesting. But anyhow, we got the divas. So our economy was based on gold, guys, in the old days. And then my dad says, the U.S. makes more money out of their eggs than we make out of our gold. I said, yeah, that just broke my heart. They make more money at selling eggs. Just shows you how big the U.S. is, you know. Anyhow. So the Bible says, your faith, so investment in Bitcoin, investment in shares, investment in, relationship, I still encourage that. But what brings you the biggest return on your investment is time spending with God, in His Word, with His people, advancing His kingdom. Okay? That's what the Word says. The Word says that your faith, a genuine faith in what? Faith in God. Not just your faith. It's your faith in God. The fact that you trust Him, you know, the fact that you put your trust in the Word, the fact that you put your trust in truth, the Bible says it's going to bless you more than gold. And of course, now you can understand why the enemy is like attacking your family, attacking your emotions. He loves to attack. He wants to make you angry. Oh, he loves that. He wants to make you feel hurt. He wants you to self-medicate. You smoke it up. Take some tablets. You know, self-medication. Gluk, gluk, gluk. You know, all that stuff. So that you can live with your pains and aches. But really, God is just saying, come out of His country and come get on the cross with Jesus and just say no. And just that's my place of protection for you, is on the cross. But Christians get off the cross. Nobody sees me, I'm a Christian. Ooh, back on the cross, here comes the enemy. Okay, I'm joking with you because I want you to see that. That's why people are still stuck in their stuff, because they get off the cross. We pray for people 3-4 weeks, oh, they're back. Same problem. What's going on? What's wrong? They didn't want to do their 180. They didn't want to get on the cross. So the enemy says, oh, look, the door is still open. I'm walking back in. You're not on the cross. You're in my country. Okay? So you need to understand what God provided for you. The protection is in Christ. That's where you are a new creation, the Bible says. That's where you get the ministry of what? If you're in Christ. The question is, are you in Christ? Are you really in Christ? Are you just a believer, or are you really in Christ? Okay? Lots for you today. I know it's going to bring healing. I know you're going to be blessed. Paul, thank you for daring to invite me. I love you. I love you, Mom and Dad. Hans, love you guys. Thank you for having us. That's my message for today. I hope that bless you. I hope that set you free. Think about it. God really provided for you on the cross. If you get into trouble, you need to get back on the cross. That's the place of protection. If you get off that cross, that's why the enemy is coming to you. Okay? So turn from some stuff. You know where you need to let go. If it's anger, you need to let go. If it's anxiety, you need to let go. If it's unforgiveness, oh, that's his favorite card he plays for you. And what had happened, we see a pattern. When Stephen forgive, grace jumped to Antioch. And Jesus had the right. When he hung on that cross, he could say, no, Father, I'm not going to forgive them. He had the key. When he forgave, the grace flows to us. See? And he's our master. We follow his example. That's why I'm called a Christian. Because he's my master and I serve him. Let man what? Consider us what? Servants of Christ. Not just a believer, I serve him. And now what do I get? I become a steward of what? Mysteries. And the next verse says, to be found faithful with his mysteries. And it's okay if people don't understand it. You just keep on being a steward of the grace that's entrusted in you. You just work with that grace. And God will open up more doors for you with that grace. To your astonishment, the grace will just open up more doors for you. Okay, I want to bless you. Thanks for having us. As I said, we call ourselves now the School of Glory and Anointing in Sylvan Lake. We've been ministering for people since 2014, every Thursday night. Why? We wanted a contact point. We wanted to know people can come. We know that, you know, that people just know, if I need prayer, I'm out of my town, nobody knows me, so, you know, I need to deal with this spiritual problem. I know the roots are spiritual. I know grandma was in stuffed tarot cards and whatever, and she was in that, you know, Reiki stuff and pulled powers from a fallen angel, and, you know, we have people that's in terrible stuff, like witchcraft, big witchcraft. And then repent from that, and then want to check and see if that spirit is gone. Because they know how to feed those powers. They feed them certain food, and they tell us certain spirits love milk, and I don't know what else, and they inherit these habits from their father. So they use these powers to their advantage to make money, and then they come and say, listen, we've repented from it. Can you just see if that spirit is gone? And then we give them a Holy Spirit MRI, Holy Spirit touch. Oh, my goodness, and to their surprise, the spirit is still hanging around. So that's how we help people. That may be too much for you today. Say, I don't want to hear this. But that's what we do. Okay? So there is really a need for this service. You don't know what grandma did. The minute people pull from powers from other spirits, that spirit thinks the family belongs to him. We've seen that pattern. Heart attacks, early heart attacks in the family. What's going on? Well, great-grandpa was in stuff. And that spirit, they counsel these spirits, and the minute you counsel them, they're copying, because you only counsel the Holy Spirit. They counsel copy spirits. And that spirit thinks, oh, you counsel me, now you belong to me. I'm yours, like, you know. People have bad dreams, visitations through dreams. Listen, don't be naive. My wife said to you, really, you're naive. I said, really? She says, not all people's good. I said, oh, I thought everyone is good. She says, no, you're raised naive. Wake up. So that's what we do. I hope that little information didn't offend you. That's what we do. Coming from Africa, I know that the towns are run by Sangomas. They don't go to the mayor. You guys have mayors here. Oh, what does the mayor say? No. The Sangoma, the witch doctor, he runs the town. Different environment than what we live here. So they're very much aware about the spiritual than we are here. We're scientific. It's all here, you know. But the spiritual world is real, guys. Okay, too much information. Wipe that last part out. Forgive me. I hope you're blessed through the message. And we're going to open up the line here. And please come up. And all we're going to do is say, Holy Spirit, touch. And we want you just to have an encounter with the Lord. You okay with that? And if you need to go.